If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19.
1 Kings chapter 19. In the later part of the book of 1 Kings, we come across a prophet named Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the Jewish nation. And by the time we get to chapter 18 or 19 in 1 Kings, Elijah is burnt out. He's been doing all these great things for God. He's been appearing before kings and queens. He's been declaring God's law and declaring God's word. He's been fighting prophets of Baal, and he's been performing miracles, and now he's on the run, and people want to kill him. And Elijah's had enough of everything, had enough of life. He's beyond stressed, and he just wants out. And after several events, God finally brings Elijah to this mountain. And he tells Elijah to go up on the mountain because God's going to pass by. And we read in verse 9 of chapter 19, it says, "Then he came there to a cave," that's Elijah, "and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" Verse 11, "So he said, 'Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing," or some versions say a still small voice, or a soft whisper. "And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" It's interesting. Elijah is going up onto this mountain, and he's told God is going to pass by. And this big wind comes, and it just blows against the mountain, and there's rock slides, and pieces of rock are falling off this mountain because of the wind. And God's not there. And then after that, an earthquake that shakes the very earth, and God's not there. And then a fire sweeps over the mountain, and God's not there either. Instead, it's implied here that instead of all those things, God was in the still, small voice. There's been a lot of discussion about just what that still, small voice is, and what the writer of 1 Kings meant by that expression. And some people actually believe that the way it's worded, the Hebrew words behind them, that actually this still small sound, and actually in the NASB it says it's like a blowing wind, that this still small sound actually isn't a sound that's perceptible at all. That it's a sound that's not perceptible to human ears. And in fact, some translators translate it the sound of sheer silence. God was in the silence. Have you ever felt like God was distant from you? Do you ever wish that God's voice was louder in your life, that you could hear God, and especially when you're facing some hard thing and you really wish you knew what God's will was in your life, and you are crying out to the heavens, God, why don't you just tell me? Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 3, what Kevin just read for us a while back. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we won't read the entire thing, but we'll take part starting in verse 4. We have this account with Samuel as a young boy, who's also one of the greatest prophets of Israel as well. But he hadn't heard God before, and it wasn't normal at that time in Israel's history to have prophets running around. Although later in Samuel's life, there are many more prophets. But Samuel seems to start a generation of prophets. And he hears the voice of God speaking to him. And as a young boy who's under the tutelage of Eli, the high priest, he thinks it's Eli calling for him. And he goes over to Eli and he says, what do you want? And Eli says, I didn't call for you, go back to bed. And it happens over and over again. Until Eli, it says in verse 8, Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy, and Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Oftentimes we speak, and we speak, and we speak, and to God, and we speak in our prayers. And it says pray fervently, and I definitely want you to continue to pray fervently. And we keep going and going, filling up every minute of every day with sound and noise and activity, anything that we can think of. And I want to ask you, and I want you to consider, is there a connection between the amount of noise in our lives, audible noise, but other noise too, visual noise, social noise, scheduling noise, all these things that we keep on putting on ourselves and basically projecting at ourselves? Is there any connection with the amount of noise in our lives and our inability to hear God's voice? Do we need to, like Samuel, stop and tell God to speak, for we're listening? Do we need to be like Elijah and listen for God in the silence? I asked Roy, if he would, to sing a song for us. Song number 34, if you would pull out from your red books. Song number 34, it's a short song, but I'd like us to sing that if possible.
The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence. Keep silence. Keep silence.
This is going to make for a great audio recording. People listening to this are going to be wondering, what went on with this sermon? If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 11. This verse might seem a little out of place with the other verses that I put up. But from this verse, I want to ask, how can we find rest or expect to find rest from Jesus if we cannot sit and be silent and listen to Him? Part of taking on His yoke, which goes on in chapter 11, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Part of taking on His yoke is listening to what He says. In fact, Matthew 11, I'll go ahead and read a little bit more than what's up on the PowerPoint. If I get there. Matthew 11. I'll start in verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, many times people look at this passage and they look at the heavy burden that Jesus is comparing. He's saying, you have a heavy burden, take on my burden. It's light. And they'll say that the burden that Jesus is talking about, the heavy burden, is sin. The burden of sin that weighs down upon us, and Jesus is going to remove that burden from us. And that's a good picture. I don't want you to say that that's not a good picture of Jesus, but I really don't think that is what is in Jesus' purview when he says your burden is heavy. All you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The yoke of Jesus that he talks about are the teachings of Jesus. And actually, he's not creating new language here. He's using language that the Pharisees used or the rabbis of his day used. A rabbi would take a disciple or take several disciples, and they would teach those disciples what that particular rabbi taught. And the corpus of a rabbi's teaching in those days was called that rabbi's yoke. And so in order to become a disciple of that particular rabbi, you would take on that rabbi's yoke. And Jesus is saying, basically, these former ways that you were living your life, these yokes that you were tied to, these other people that you were following and that placed these yokes, these teachings on you, they're weighing you down. They're making life hard for you. And I think specifically Jesus is thinking of the number of rules that the Pharisees and the tradition of the elders that ultimately led people to destruction, that Jesus is concerned about when he says, there's a better way. Come to me and I will give you rest. And we may be dealing with yokes that are similar to the Pharisees. We might be burdened by a legalism, a bunch of unwritten rules that don't appear in the Bible but somehow are enforced upon us. But we have other yokes. Other things that we basically yoke ourselves to and say and go along with. There are a lot of yokes of this modern society that we live in. A lot of teachings that we bind ourselves to and we carry around with us. We have yokes that say, go, 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 that this world is fast-paced, and if you're ever going to make it in business, or you're going to make it in this world, you've got the only way to get ahead in life is to go at a breakneck pace, is to just focus on your work, and that's the only thing that you ever focus on. We have the yoke of entertainment all around us that ties us to our TVs, our music, our YouTube videos, our Facebooks, our emails, our cell phones. And if we're yoked to all these different things, where does Jesus ever come in? And I think we can all safely say that at some point or another, we go in our business lives or just with the various things that are all around us, like our cell phones, our email, and all these other things, they become a burden, don't they? We get to a point where we say, I can't take it anymore. I just want to give up. I just want to throw it all away, like Elijah. And Jesus says, put off that yoke and put on mine. But how are we ever going to know what Jesus' yoke? Because he says, learn from me. How do you learn without listening? How do you ever get to rest without stopping? Jesus provides us an example in his own life about what he did regularly throughout his life. He was a busy man. He went around teaching and healing. People wanted to be around him. People flocked to him. There were innumerable amounts of people who were sick. There were innumerable amounts of people who needed another parable from Jesus or another teaching from Jesus. Yet Luke says in chapter 5 and verse 16 of his gospel, yet he, that is Jesus, often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. One of the regular habits of Jesus, and one that we as Americans can take a lot away from in this 21st century life, where we're all interconnected and we all have electronic things, you know, connected to us. Even those of you who don't have computers, you still, everybody else has computers, and so you feel it. It's kind of secondhand computers, right? We all feel it. Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Jesus often sought solitude. Jesus often sought silence. When was the last time you sought solitude? Even for 5 minutes. When was the last time that you turned the computer off? That you turned your cell phone off, and you turned your 20 other electronic devices off, and just listened?
That's what I want to leave you with this morning. We haven't talked about becoming a Christian, but we always leave this time open. For anyone who hasn't accepted the call of Christ to come to Him and find rest, you can find rest in Jesus Christ. As He says, come to me and learn from me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you haven't accepted that, you can accept that right now. And we can help you. We can start you on your journey. You can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into his death and begin your journey of learning from him and listening to him. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation, that's open as well. And if you are in any way subject to the invitation, I ask you to come forward as we stand and say,
Jesus, the loving shepherd, coming out to come into the fold of safety where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the born of youth, into the fold of safety. Calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me, patiently waiting there, standing I see, Jesus my shepherd divine. Jesus the loving shepherd gave his dear life for thee, tenderly now he's calling, wanderer, without his danger, come Christ the shepherd's blessed. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine. Lingering is but folly, wolves are abroad today. Seeking the sheep for straying, seeking the lambs to slay. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Jesus, my shepherd divine.